Christians across the nation will gather tomorrow for the National Day of Prayer. And today on His People, we caught up with Scott Darling with the Montana National Day of Prayer.
I'm always excited about prayer because to me, it's the only solution that we have to the problems that we face in this country. I honestly believe that if Christians were to just take a minute daily, if possible, to pray for the persecuted church and the need for spiritual revival, that alone would just dramatically change the landscape of our country. And not by the power of law, not by the power of anything else, but the power of God to bring healing to a land if His people will humble themselves and pray.
Patrick Herman talks with Scott Darling next.
The National Day of Prayer is an annual day of observance held on the first Thursday of May, designated by the United States Congress, and when people are asked to turn to God in prayer and meditation. Joining us today on Pilgrim Radio's His People is Montana State Coordinator Scott Darling. Scott, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Patrick. It's a great to join with you.
Now, I'm one who believes the least amount of government is the best government, but it does make me smile that the president is required by law to sign a proclamation each year encouraging all of us as Americans to pray on this day coming up Thursday.
Yes, that is true.
I love that. And that's your job too, isn't it, to encourage people to come out and pray?
Yes, yes. We actually encourage every governor to also submit a proclamation as well. So,
How's the governor of Montana doing with all that?
Well, haven't received one yet this year. Still hopeful. He has the last couple of years, so we're looking forward to seeing what he has to say.
Well, and I think the event is typically really big where the governors reside, or at least where their capitals are. So the state capital, Helena, Montana, Carson City, Nevada, Sacramento, California, Cheyenne, Wyoming, that's our coverage area. But there are events potentially in every town, small and great, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. We have events all across Montana, and we're excited to see what God will do this year in bringing His people together. So,
how crazy, how chaotic is it for you as a state coordinator to bring all this together?
Well, we rely on volunteers, so it's always interesting. But I have a good group of volunteers here in the state, and they do some great work for the Lord. So we're excited to see what will happen this year.
Now, we're going to get into some of the whys, why people should get together and come out for the National Day of Prayer. But before we do that, tell our listening audience how they can find maybe an event that's happening in their area. Where do they go online?
Sure. Just go to nationaldayofprayer.org, all spelled out, nationaldayofprayer.org. And there's an event tab there, and you can go and search for your events by zip code or by state or by city. And you can find events that are in your local area. Hopefully there are places that we don't go, but or places that people aren't volunteering to have an event, but that we have many around the state here in Montana, and I'm sure where you are at as well.
And I would also suggest that if people don't find it, and maybe in some of the smaller towns that are listening in, call your pastor. I bet he would know what's going on with the local area.
Absolutely. In fact, many pastors actually open their churches for that day to have people come in and pray throughout the day. And, you know, it's all about unifying together in prayer. So That's a wonderful thing, too.
Well, let's talk about some of the reasons for coming out to pray collectively, because people can just stay home and pray individually. But let's talk about corporate gathering of prayer. In your opinion, why is corporate prayer so important?
Well, I think there's several reasons, and I've listed four here, but I think there's a mountain of others as well. But I think the number one reason is gratitude to God for the freedom that He has given us in this country. You know, many people don't have that kind of freedom. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And so I think there's a part of coming out and thanking God together publicly that is just so important. You know, I think of the actual event that Jesus talked about where He healed 10 lepers and only one came back to say thank you. And I think we in this country have a great opportunity and even responsibility to come out together and say, thank you, God, for the freedom that you've given to us in this country.
That's a good point, because really the 10 lepers, that should have been one of the very first corporate prayers. All 10 of them should have come back.
That's right. That's right.
Well, someone compiles the information annually and even comes up with a theme for the year in prayer. And I think this year the theme for the National Day of Prayer is James 5, 16b. Is that right?
It comes from there, yes.
All right, let me read it. It says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. But the first part of that verse really talks about gathering, so I'm not sure why they omitted it. But confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That sounds like what this country really and the world needs right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to come together and pray. There's not a problem that we face in this country that God couldn't solve, but it all comes down to God's people coming together and praying.
Yeah, and you were just talking about the lepers, but you mentioned that there needs to be a certain gratitude for the freedom to gather and to pray, right? We have that freedom in this nation.
Yes, yes. And I've long admired our persecuted family around the world because they suffer much for their faith. Many can't gather like we can in this country. And I think it's a public testimony to come together out of gratefulness and thankfulness to God for the freedom that we have. And again, that freedom, you know, we're not guaranteed that freedom, even in this country. And so the opportunity to come together, let's do it while we can.
And obviously the forefathers saw this as priority one. It's amendment number one. You can gather, you can worship the way you want to. And so do it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Luke 17, 11 through 19, you were saying the story of the 10 lepers. And we just need to give pause to that and realize we need to be grateful too. No matter what it is, whether it's a curing from leprosy or whatever, God has brought us salvation and that curing, no matter what it is. So the thankfulness, it could happen on a day like Thursday where we realize we need to come together and give thanks, not just to go and be happy with what he's done for us, but to go and go back to him and give thanks. This is a way to show that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that we show that kind of gratitude. In fact, one of the signs, I believe, of the end times is where we lose our gratefulness, you know, and so let's be grateful.
Well, I think maybe people that hear of a prayer event like this, they may think, as sometimes I do too, that this is out of my league. You know, those things are for the really heavy intercessory prayer warriors, you know, those people that can really pray, those that can gather and do that for extended periods of time, et cetera. So maybe give our audience and me a glimpse into a National Day of Prayer event. What happens? There's speakers, there's singing, and there's prayer, but tell us what's going on at these events.
Well, the types of events range all over the place. I mean, just here in Billings, we have a Bible reading marathon. We read the entire Bible from the rims up over Billings. Hmm. We also have a community prayer breakfast early in the morning. Then we have a noon gathering on the courthouse lawn in Billings, and we have several people lined up to pray. And we don't want just people just to come and listen. The value of prayer is every believer praying. And so we encourage them to pray along with us as we lead them in prayer over the different issues in our country. And then we also have a Billings House of Prayer where people can come anytime and go there. And then we also have an evening event. And again, the variety of how, you know, we get, what we do when we get together is just amazing. But the real important thing is the prayer. My belief structure and what I see in scripture is prayer is not some kind of spiritual gift. It is the activity of people who walk by faith, and that should be every Christian.
So don't be intimidated by it. Just go out there and be a part of it.
Yeah. God will hear your prayers. You know, it doesn't matter. In fact, if you read Matthew chapter 6, you know, Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees or the Gentiles, for they think they will be heard for their many words. It's not in your words that you're heard. It's the heart that is praying to God is what God will hear.
Good point. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, there's unity in prayer that happens when we gather, and that's a sort of fellowship also. And we prayed, you and I prayed before this conversation, and the prayer that came to mind was Jesus' prayer saying, Father, I wish that they would be united as we are, or they are one as we are one. And that's kind of what we see with something like this, with this fellowship of prayer, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that unity is really, really important. I think it's more important in God's economy than we oftentimes understand, is that unity is what he was there about ready to go to the cross. And yet he called out to God and said, Lord, let them be one. And so that unity is then spread throughout the whole New Testament. You know, Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And then do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit. Hmm. So it's all about helping one another, being united together with one another. And again, I really believe this is far more important than we realize in God's economy.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it. I mean, what does bring us together? All the different things that bring us together. Maybe it's music or maybe it's the preaching, but in prayer, you know, and you could either like the music or you can not like the music. And the same with the preaching, but prayer is prayer. It's people pouring out their hearts to God. And that, there is a unifying factor that just comes from that, just that one thing.
Yeah. To me, we need to be more proactive about our unity. In other words, it's not just something, a theory that we talk about.
Amen.
It's actually demonstrating that. Yeah. And I think National Day of Prayer is one of those few things that I would encourage every Christian to come out to, because what we're doing is praying to the God of heaven who hears and answers prayer.
Yeah. So here's Jesus saying, Father, I wish that they would be one as we are one. And that word unity, it just means getting together. So, I mean, that is the directive that comes from God.
Yes.
Well, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment to love one another. And I know one of the greatest acts of love that I've felt as a Christian, especially as a new Christian believer years ago, was when another Christian would just say those words, may I pray for you, or I am praying for you. And I thought, wow, that's love.
Yes, yes. And I really think this is another thing that is lacking in the Christian community, is that love for one another. Because that is a great command of Jesus. Again, it's not something, a theory of saying I love. How do we demonstrate that love for one another? And I think National Day of Prayer, coming out together and calling together out to the God of heaven, is an act of love for one another. And so I believe it's really important that we do that.
Kind of put some meat on the skeleton here, if you can, for us, Scott. What are some maybe experiences that you've had? I know you were just talking about the Billings House of Prayer. So you do this throughout the year. It's not just a one-day event for you. This is part of your life, and you've made it part of your life. But give us maybe some experience of answered prayer that you can think of, and some unity that's come from it.
Well, I've seen many, many answers to prayer, but the coming together is just so critical. I have friends. I have a friend that lost his wife a year ago to suicide. I have another friend who just lost a friend in an accident. And I have another friend whose children were taken from her by the courts in this country. And I think there's a need in the body of Christ that we come together and pray. You know, it's not just a stagnant prayer that we want to pray. It's asking the God of heaven to bring his justice and his righteousness to the things of earth. And so I think it's just really important that we show that kind of love. And the answers to prayer are many. In fact, I just had one last week. Again, I have a group that gathers every week on the phone. And one of the things we pray against is the drugs, the drug trafficking that's going on across our nation. And just here in southeastern Montana, we had a major drug bust last week of 11 traffickers. And again, God answers prayer. And that's not the only one. We had, when I moved here 5 years ago, there was a drug house across the street from where I lived. And within 3 months of starting prayer, that drug house just dried up. And so I believe there's a power to prayer that can change everything that we see today. But it comes back to, you know, uniting together, loving one another, and praying for the spiritual battles that we face.
His will be done. You know, because you were just saying that, it's more than just encouragement. There's power in prayer.
Yes.
Let's talk about the promises of God, because speaking of powers of prayer, I immediately think of the promise mentioned in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, which always comes up with, I think, with the National Day of Prayer. And I think it's probably the foremost thought in people's mind. If my people, especially as a nation, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's a promise.
Yes.
And yes, if we would just do that. But there are lots of promises that come from the power of prayer, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah. And for those listeners who say, well, that's just an Old Testament promise, we actually have a similar one in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, where it says, pray for all men, including those in authority over you, so that you can live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and holiness. And as we see in our country today, we can't live quiet and peaceful lives because of all the issues that are going on around us. And it comes back to, we need to encourage one another, as the Second Chronicles 7:14 says, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And, you know, the promises are just all over the place. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have that which we have asked of him. And even Matthew 17:20, which doesn't necessarily relate to prayer, but it says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move, and it will move, and nothing would be impossible for you. And again, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Great promises, but they're mostly conditional. That we have to pray,
yeah.
We have to do the things that are according to God's will, and there's a great, great power in prayer.
Yeah.
And again, as I stated earlier, I don't believe there's a problem that we face in this country that could not be solved or greatly diminished if God's people were to pray.
And, you know, the person may be out there and says, God knows what we need, so why ask? And I always think of that passage that says, you need to ask, you need to seek, and you need to knock. And it's like he's not going to just leave it with one thing, but he's like, no, you need to ask me for whatever reason. And maybe that's part of his whole attribute of being a God of communion. We see him in the Trinity. There's three parts to one God. He is a God of conversation, and that's his heart, is for his children to speak to him, and especially in group settings. How much more power is there in a group setting than there is with individual?
Yes. And we're part of a team.
Yeah.
And we're part of a team. And so every team member has a role to play, has an activity to do. And prayer is something, as I stated before, is not a spiritual gift. It's supposed to be every Christian involved in praying for God's will to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think it's just really important that we pray.
When did the National Day of Prayer begin? What was the first year that it was a national thing?
Well, I mean, presidents all across our history have called for National Day of Prayers going back to George Washington. It became official in 1952 when Congress passed a law that said there will be a National Day of Prayer, and President Truman signed it into law. And then in 1988, I believe it was, that the law was amended to be the first week in May every year, and President Reagan signed that into law. And so it's always now the first week in May, the first Thursday in May.
And I, you know, you think going through the years, there's, you know, you hear about great outcries of prayer. There was one, we were just reading the history of it, and the end of the 1800s where there were so many grasshoppers and locusts eating the farmers' crops that they got together and prayed. So usually it's something big and traumatic and dramatic, but it shouldn't be. And I think I think maybe with you as the manager of the state of Montana and getting together people to pray collectively each year, I think the main idea is we need this now, probably more than ever in this country. The emergency is now, and it's a call for prayer today.
Yes. There really is an urgency in that prayer. You know, Isaiah talks about, you know, call to me while I can be found.
Yeah.
There could come a day where, you know, God won't listen to our prayers. And so to me, it's very important that we take advantage of the opportunities that we have today. And prayer is one of those things. Again, I believe prayer could just accomplish great things. You know, you talked about the locusts and stuff. Here in Montana, when I came 5 years ago, you know, we started to pray, and Billings has had, the first 2 years, it was almost 20% above our average rainfall, which is just huge anywhere here in the West. Again, the power of prayer. And we didn't necessarily pray for that. We prayed for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God blessed the Billings area with extra rain. And one of the illustrations I like to talk about, and it wasn't even my ministry, so it has nothing to do with me, but a city in Virginia, about 25,000, 400 Christians gathered on a night to pray. And it was basically confession and worship is what they did. And they had a policeman in the audience that night praying along with them. And he reported back to the group that the following week was the quietest week that the police had had in years.
That's great.
And again, you know, the government spends millions of dollars, and we look to the government to solve the problem of crime in our country. We look to the politicians to solve the, and although I appreciate when we have good Christian leadership, the responsibility comes to us. If we will pray, God will bring healing to our land.
And I should also bring up that this is not something to say, make America great again. This is not what this prayer is about. This is more of a prayer of the hearts of the people to return to the Father, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you and your team, I would imagine you meet regularly throughout the year to pray. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I have a team here in Billings. We pray every week, and we have a monthly call with all the Mountain States coordinators for National Day of Prayer, and we pray together. And so, yeah, prayer is a part of my life.
And you said you have to make it so. It's not just something that just happens. How did you set that up for yourself? Is there some thoughts that you have on that?
Well, it does take a certain discipline, and it's an area of the church that discipline is not necessarily promoted, especially when it comes to prayer. And sadly, many churches have discontinued prayer meetings because they're so poorly attended. But I believe, you know, if we will discipline ourselves, and I'm not talking about huge amounts of time, you know, if Christians were to take an hour a week, it would be a wonderful thing to pray for the spiritual battles that are affecting all of us.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that if Christians were to just take a minute daily, if possible, to pray for the persecuted church and the need for spiritual revival, mm-hmm. that alone would just dramatically change the landscape of our country. And not by the power of law, not by the power of anything else, but the power of God to bring healing to a land if his people will humble themselves and pray. And so I'm always excited about prayer, because to me, it's the only solution that we have to the problems that we face in this country.
So I think whether you're good at praying or not, your encouragement would be get ready to pray Thursday and come out and do so.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And how do our listeners, again, tell us the website or a place where they should find you?
Okay. Well, go to the national website, nationaldayofprayer.org, to find events near you. If you're also interested in praying more about the spiritual battles, I have a brochure that I've produced on I call it the Montana prayer list, but it would work in every state. And I'd be glad to send you one, and you can reach me at scott2t's.darling@nationaldayofprayer.org, and I'd be glad to send you one. But again, the people's prayers are just so important for all the things that are affecting us.
Yeah. Now, I know here in Carson City, there is the House of Prayer that's downtown. You have the Billings House of Prayer as well, right?
Yes. Yes.
So this is not just a one-time thing throughout the year, but it's throughout the year you are allowed to come and be a part of this gathering. So they can do that. They can figure out that discipline and learn this for themselves with you.
And there's lots of opportunities for prayer, and we'd like to encourage people to take advantage of those opportunities. And National Day of Prayer is one of those great opportunities.
Well, Scott, I think it would only be right to end this conversation with you with a prayer. If maybe you could pray for us and pray for our nation and just definitely for our listening area. Would you do that for us?
We'll do.
All right.
Lord, thank you for this time that Patrick and I could talk. And we thank you, Lord, for Pilgrim Radio and their ministry for you. Lord, I do pray for our nation. I pray that God's people would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, Lord. I pray that they would come out to pray and they would learn to pray and see what you would do if your people will pray. And Lord, I do pray that you would bring many people out for National Day of Prayer across this country in every city and town. And I just pray, Lord, that you would use that to honor your name. And Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunities to share. Just ask your blessing upon the whole Pilgrim Radio audience. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Scott Darling, State Coordinator of the National Day of Prayer in Montana. Scott's email is scott.darling@nationaldayofprayer.org, or find a prayer location on the national website at nationaldayofprayer.org. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Warren Cole Smith examining the common practice of passing church and ministry leadership to family members.
And that's why here at Ministry Watch, we say that nepotism should be not prohibited, but avoided. I want to make that distinction over and over again, because we're not saying that it is always wrong or that there should be policies in place to expressly prohibit it. But we do say that it should be avoided, and there should be, when you do bring a family member into the organization, there are certain, I think, considerations, questions, and conditions that need to exist for that to happen.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.